My lesson this morning is going to be on prayer. But before we get to our relationship with God, I'd like for us to all think about communication skills in general. Because I think we all remember that the first day of school, first day on a new job, or the first day at a new congregation, they all have one thing in common, and that is we're all strangers. We don't know anything about each other. After a few weeks, a few months, a few years, some people just stay strangers. Some people in a congregation, you really don't get to know them. You really don't. They don't share much. We don't share much with them. And the relationship virtually stays pretty shallow, just what we might call a mere acquaintance. But other people, we share. Maybe we find out that we have the same interests. We find out that we, and you'd think brethren would all have the same interests, but sometimes it takes something outside of the church to generate an interest. But a few become friends, and some people become very close friends. And I think we'd all have to agree that there's one reason why some people stay acquaintances, some people stay strangers, some people become close friends, and that is we have the ability to communicate. By communicate, I don't just mean good morning. I don't just mean, how did you do this week? I mean, we get into each other's personal lives. We learn about each other. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens share, as the song says. We develop a closeness based on two things. One is a trust that I can give you my information without at some point in the future you using it against me. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't share their burdens with other people. Because they don't know what they might do with them. And I think many of us have been hurt in the past by sharing something with someone that was later used in a way we never anticipated. But if we talk and find encouragement, if we share, and if they do the same, we start to build a relationship. Now, if we start making cutting remarks, if we find that the person that we're talking to does not try to understand, then usually it comes to an end. We just decide this is not worth pursuing. But we tentatively share, and we usually start with superficial things. And if we find that the person is kind and gentle and loving and interested, we might go a little deeper. And if that happens, the more we share, the more valuable the relationship. Let's face it, there are some people here in this congregation that if they were to pass away, it wouldn't have a great impact because we never really developed a relationship. Now, that should be different people with different circumstances. But I think we'd all agree that, like it or not, whether it should be that way or not, that's basically how it is. You have to have certain things happen before we become trusted co-workers together. Or we develop a good relationship. Some neighbors we just say hello to. Other neighbors we invite into our home, or we go into their home, or we spend time visiting with each other. We find out about them. Same thing with a spouse, same thing with a child, same thing with a brother or sister in Christ. And the scriptures are pretty clear that we need to cultivate those kind of relationships. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one falls, or if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, when I read this verse, I don't just think of human companions. I think about God. Because if we can't form close relationships with brethren, sometimes, as Paul said, in perils among false brethren, sometimes we just don't know. We don't know if we can share information. We don't know how far that we can give that information. But the point of this lesson is not really to emphasize how we should get along with one another. It is to ask the question, is God a stranger or a friend to you? We first met God. Some of us in our youth, through the help of our parents. Some of us in our older age, as we came to the gospel, we found out that God is multifaceted. He's not just a God of wrath. He's not just a God of justice. He's a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of forgiveness. And the more we understand about God, the more comfortable we feel sharing things with him. And you say, well, why would he have to share anything with him? He knows everything. Well, exactly. That's the point. But that doesn't mean we're going to share it. That doesn't mean that we're going to develop this relationship so that if we do fall, he'll be there to pick us up. And he will keep us warm. And another passage, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Many people can't walk with God because they don't agree with him. They don't agree with what he said about the first day of the week assembly. They don't agree what he said about worship. Or they don't agree what he said about moral standards. And God sees us as walking further and further away from him. Because a relationship, and one of the interesting things about a relationship is it's two-sided. It isn't just how I feel around God. More importantly, how does God feel about me? And how much do I care about that? And so as we leave human relationships and we enter into divine relationships, we start to see this more clearly. It's easy to understand that if you want to have a good marriage, you have to have good communication. Matter of fact, communication is one of the most common reasons why people are divorced. It's one of the most common reasons why they don't get along with each other. They don't know how to talk to each other. They don't know how to share. They don't know how to get past the superficial into the real important things. So a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. But it doesn't happen by chance. It happens through hard work. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. But that relationship had to develop. As I point out in that last little blurb, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes risks. It takes sharing deeper things. The more we're willing to share, and the more they're willing to share, the better the relationship. The more important the relationship. The more we enjoy the relationship. The more we rely on the relationship. And as I said a minute ago, we're not just talking about humanity here. Learning to listen to God and learning how to pray with God or to God are the two most important barometers, temperature gauges. They tell you and I everything. When God says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, what does that mean? How do we draw near to God? For in him we live and move and have our being. Well, he's not talking about proximity. He's talking about relationships. So here's the question. Is our relationship with God any different from the relationship with our spouse or the relationship with our children or the relationship with our friends and brethren? And the answer is yes and no. Well, it's different from the perspective of how profound it is and how important it is, but it's not different in the perspective of how you form it. If we won't listen to God and if we won't talk to God, then God will always be a stranger to us. He will always be someone we don't understand, someone that we do not feel that it's safe to rely upon, not because we don't want to rely upon him, but because we've never developed the ability. And so all that affects human relationships, human friendships, has an impact. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. God called Abraham his friend. Most of us would like to have God as our friend, but how many people would God consider to be his friend? And what is a friend? What do I mean when I say that I consider you a friend? Well, that means what we talked about Wednesday night. I can call you at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I know you won't be upset. I trust that. Now, there's some people here I wouldn't call at 2 in the morning because I don't know how they'd respond because I don't know them well enough. And I think we'd all be like that. Sadly, some people don't know how to turn to God, and they don't know how to call upon God. And we sing about that. Oh, what needless pain we bear. all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We sing about it. But have we taken, what do we want to say, the bull by the horns? Have we actually decided, I'm going to do something about this? I like the close relationships I have with my friends and my family, and I'd like to have that with God. Well, here's how it starts. As God laments in the psalm, my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. Now, isn't that what we might call a stranger? But Israel estranged themselves from God because they didn't want to talk to him. They didn't want to listen to him. Verse 12, I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. And then another lament, oh, that is my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would walk in my ways. Now, I cut it off there, but if you keep reading, he talks about how much he could do for them if they would have developed this relationship, how he would have done so many blessings for them. So I would submit to us that it's all the same, that whether we are a selfish spouse, whether we have unruly children or we are a parent, what do they call it, an absent parent, lack of reverence to God, they all come from the same root problem, inability or lack of desire to talk to or to listen to. Now, every one of us has people in our lives that we wouldn't want to share anything with because we don't really feel comfortable that they would use that information in a way that would be in our best interest. We also have people in our lives that we feel that we could rely on and we could trust and that we could leave our lives in their hands. And then there's other people that we have so much trust in that we can share everything. And we can ask for anything. And we're comfortable in each other's presence. And I hope that all of us can say that about God. Because that's what God wants. He wants us to be his children. He wants us to be his friend. He wants us to love him, to trust him, to rely on him, to bring all of our needs to him. But he also wants us to want to know his will, because that's what a friendship is. We talk about fair weather friends. A fair weather friend is somebody who will be around you as long as you have something to give. As long as they can get something from you, something they enjoy. But the moment it turns, and this is sad, but it's true, that we hold up a husband or a wife as being exemplary if they stay with the spouse, even though it's going to cost them for the rest of their lives. But that shouldn't be exemplary. That's how it ought to be. In Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 15:9, in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines and commandments of men. Galatians 1:6-9, I'm amazed that you're so quickly leaving to a different gospel, which is not another, only some would pervert, but though we are an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. 2 John 9, whoever goes onward and abides on the teachings of Christ has not God. 1 Corinthians 4:6, that in us you might learn not to go beyond what is written. Revelation 22:18-19, I testify that anyone who adds to or takes away from these words is going to regret it. There's no fellowship with people like that. Adam and Eve, Cain, Saul, Nadab and Abihu, Israel, Korah. These were people God couldn't reason with. Tried. Tried to reason with Cain. Cain wouldn't listen. Cain would not be God's friend. He would not rely on God. He would not trust God. And because of that, he went out from the presence of the Lord, which can only mean, I don't want God in my knowledge anymore. Because you can't really go out of the presence of the Lord. You can ignore that he's there, but he's still there. Saul just wouldn't listen. He forced himself to offer the burnt offering. He refused to completely destroy the Amalekites, and God said, I regret that I made him king, because he will not do my commandments. Same thing with Nadab and Abihu. All of these people withdraw from every brother. So there's no fellowship. We can't have a relationship with people or with God if they won't listen or we won't listen. So listening is the beginning of fellowship. And we all know this. I mean, I'm not saying anything we don't already know. I'm just trying to put it in a little different perspective so we can see it a little more clearly. And that is, if you want to have a close relationship with God, you're going to follow the same path you would if you want to have a close relationship with anyone. You open up, you share, you listen kindly and attentively with agape love. In other words, whatever you tell me, I'm going to use in your best interest. Now, if I have a friend like that, a wife like that, or God like that, then I'm going to be a blessed individual. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is one side of our relationship with God, and you know, gospel preachers emphasize this a lot. We talk about denominations, we talk about rebellion, we talk about commands, examples, and inferences, and how to be submissive to God, and that is a critical part of our relationship with him, but it's only half of it. As John said, we are of God, he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of the truth, or the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. Now, we all understand that verse. If you want to listen to God, you have to listen to John, and Peter, and Paul, and Jude, and all the other writers of the New Testament. They are of God. God validated them. They listened to him. They did his will. He allowed them to perform miracles so that we would understand, these are my spokesmen. He who knows God hears them. He who is not of God does not hear them. I will remain a stranger no matter how close I feel to God if I'm not listening to him. And there's so many people in the world today who refuse to accept that truth. They think God is their friend because he gives them physical blessings. But Jesus tried to deal with that. He makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. Getting the sunrise, getting the rain, getting the physical blessings from God has no indication whatsoever. It's just a starting point. So, communication also will affect our relationship with God if we won't talk to him. I think for many people, prayer is a very difficult thing. Oh, I'm not saying it's not hard to ask God for forgiveness or thank God for your food or when someone's in the hospital to ask God. But when it comes to actually developing a relationship with God where you talk with him. For example, pray without ceasing. How many of us can honestly say, I do that. I enjoy that. I relish that. I work toward that. I like to talk to God throughout the day. I keep him in my mind. I keep him near me. I draw near to him. I talk to him. Continue earnestly in prayer. Now, that's a little different from praying without ceasing. Being vigilant means you're keeping an eye on it. You're watching it. You're gauging. How much am I talking to God? How much time did I spend talking to God yesterday? How often do we do that, brethren? How often do we set up some kind of a measurement to try to figure out whether we're getting closer and closer to God, whether we're treading water, or whether we're moving away from God? And it's pretty easy to see when you're not listening less and less or when you're not talking less and less. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly, earnestly, without ceasing, being vigilant. So the commands would make us friends of God. Some of us don't know how to do it. Some of us don't want to do it because we're not comfortable with God's presence. It's uncomfortable to be in the presence of God if you're not listening to him. And if you're not poor in spirit, and if you're not mourning over your sins, and you don't feel the need to bring them to God so that he can comfort you and forgive you, we don't want to talk to God at all. Because we feel guilty. And it's easier, like Cain found out, to just live outside of his presence than to come into his presence only to feel our unworthiness and not want to do anything about it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. There's a lot of words here to describe the importance of prayer. Praying always with all prayer. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean all prayer? Well, there's supplications, there's thanksgivings, there's interceding for someone else. Prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men. There are many different ways. There's prayers for forgiveness. There's prayers, as Jesus said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's a different kind of a prayer. A prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Your kingdom come. Praying for people in the church. Praying for the church. Praying for the church in India. The churches in other places. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Father, please help me to do your will on earth as it's done in heaven. Help me to think your will is more important than mine. And just continuing on. I tried that since Wednesday night. I've been using that as my template now. I start with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then I take, whatever, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, however long, to praise God for his creation, to praise God for all the things that he's done. And then just move from there. So, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So then I start praying for Prince, and I start praying for Yaddo, and I start praying for the people in Malawi, and the people that we support, and the people that are here. And then we move on from there. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's where a lot of forgiveness can come in. I mean, a lot of prayers for, Father, I'm not always doing your will. I don't know your will, or I don't like your will, or I don't agree with your will. Help me to break that down. I want your will to be done on earth. And so it goes. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful. Now, it's interesting how often that's in the Scriptures. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to examine ourselves. You ever do that? What does it mean? What's an examination? Well, we know what it means in school. It means you go into the classroom, you sit down, and they give you a piece of paper, and you fill out the answers because you're taking an exam. Well, I examine myself. Well, during the Lord's Supper, that means that I'm focusing on remembering Him. And I'm watching that. For the entire time. Are you focused? If my mind drifts, I bring it back. You just failed. You just made a mistake. Forgive me, Father. I need to focus on this. Jesus said, remember me. That's how we do it there. What about here? Being watchful to this end. Well, that means I know I'm supposed to pray always. I know I'm supposed to pray with all prayer. And I know I'm supposed to pray with all supplication. And I'm watchful. I examine myself. How much did I pray today? How long did I pray in the morning? How long did I pray in the evening? Did I skip any meals? Was there a temptation that I dealt with that I didn't pray for? Was there a situation that arose with someone I care about that I didn't bring to him? That's what being watchful is. It means you're keeping an eye on it. Just like if a woman puts a pie in the oven, she keeps an eye on it. Now she puts the timer on, but toward the end there, she goes in there and checks. And sometimes she lets it go past because it's not ready. Watchful. It's what people do when they're pouring concrete. It's what people do when they're driving. They're watchful. Is there any cars? Am I in the lane? Am I doing the speed limit? Is there a cop behind me? There's all kinds of things that we're watching for when we drive, when we cook, when we're working with concrete or wood. What about our prayers? Is God important enough to us? Let's go back and look at those again. Pray without ceasing. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. If you want to draw near to God, if we want God to be our friend, yes, we're going to listen to him. We have to learn how to talk. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing earnestly, being vigilant, watching like you do that meal, like you do anything else. Driving. So, if a Christian wants to draw near to God, there's two things he does. And that's why we have a daily Bible reading, and that's why we have preached over and over again, pray to God. Now, if you're a morning person, pray in the morning. If you're a night person, pray at night. I used to try to pray at night, and I'd always wake up in the morning, and I'd say to myself, you only prayed for 2 minutes, and then you fell asleep. And I'd be embarrassed. Because what if I did that to you? What if you came over to visit with me and I started snoring? Would that affect you? Would that, well, man, what's going on here? Is Alan a friend? Now, if you're loving, you'd say, well, Alan must be having a problem. But if it happens over and over again, you might start thinking, you know, I think I got better things to do, go visit with him, because all he does is sleep the whole time I'm here. So I learn to pray in the morning. That's when I'm at my best. Now, some of you may be better off in the evening. Some of you may say, oh, I don't like the morning or the evening. I like to do it in the middle of the day. David said, morning, noon, and night, I bring my prayers to you. So that's pretty simple. Another writer said, morning and evening. So the point is, we're praying always with all prayer. But then we've made up our mind, we're never going to eat anything without thanking God, because the word is, our food is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And whenever I'm in a temptation, lead me not into temptation. I'm going to pray about that. And whenever I hear, like this morning, we're talking about Roger in Boise, whose back is in so much pain. And immediately, first thing I do is I pray. A lot of times when I hear a siren, I offer up a prayer. Father, there's something bad on the other end of this, and I pray that you'll be with that person. Maybe that's because I drove an ambulance for 15 years, but I think about that. Any good friend is going to drift. I mean, let's face it, if I don't call you week after week after week after week, you start thinking, well, Alan is not, doesn't care about me. So the importance of prayer is not just asking for things. It's our only means to express our love, our devotion, our thanksgiving, our praise, our repentance, our confession. Now you might say, well, a couple of those are requests. Isn't repentance and confession a request? Well, yes and no. It is an admission of guilt. It is an admission. Father, I fell short. I'm so sorry. I'm so ashamed. Not because I might go to hell. Not because I might be punished. But because I hurt you. Because you deserve better than what I've done. Prayer is the only means to express that. To express our love. You know, you've all heard the story of the man who gets home from the honeymoon and says, honey, I got to tell you something. I told you I love you today, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know, but you're never going to hear it again. Never going to tell you I love you again. That's no way to have a marriage. We need to be telling each other we love each other multiple times a day. Just keep it warm. Now, that's my opinion. You may say, Alan, you're all wet. Works well for me. But I try to do that with God as well. I love God. And I know he loves me. Devotion, thanksgiving, praise. God delights in our prayers because that's how we draw near. I mean, let's face it. If we have a friend that we really like, but we are not yet sure if they like us, and pretty soon they're calling us all the time and they're telling us how much they appreciate it, it's a wonderful feeling to have it reciprocated. God's done everything he can to show how much he loves us. But what are we doing in return? The prayer of the upright is his delight. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Jehovah is near unto all that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. So, we need to monitor. That's why we have a daily Bible reading. We need to monitor. How much am I reading the Bible? And how often am I forsaking assembly? How often am I... These are things to examine yourself. But prayer is just as important. I've always found it fascinating that Cornelius was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household because he did two things. He gave alms generously to the people and he prayed to God always. That's not hard. If that's all it takes to be someone who has a memorial going up to God, we can all do that. If we want to. Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial. That's why God chose you, Cornelius, to be the first Gentile convert, because your prayers and your alms have gone up as a memorial to him. But even more than just a memorial, in Revelation we're told, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are the incense in the bowls. Now, you say to yourself, well, Revelation's a pretty symbolic book. I have no idea what that means. Well, I don't either, but I know this. Prayer must have some value if it's saved up in heaven in a bowl like incense. So each one has a harp, and each one has golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So don't tell me that our prayers are not important to God. Even though, as Jesus said, your Father who sees in secret, nobody else knows. Nobody else knows how often you're praying. They shouldn't. You shouldn't feel the need. Jesus said, if you pray before men, you've received your reward. But if you want God to really hear you, enter into your closet in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. But again, we're not doing it for selfish reasons. I don't pray just so God will give me things, and I hope you don't either. Just like we don't develop relationships with people just because we want them to give us things. That's what a fair weather friend is. We want a friend who doesn't care what they get. They just want to give. Didn't Jesus say something like that? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, here's an interesting concept, and we'll be dealing with this parable fairly soon. He spoke a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Have you fainted? Are you fainting? You find your prayers less a part of your life today as they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Are we fainting? Are we saying to ourselves, what is the point? It's not doing any good. I'm not getting anything from it. I'm not developing a closer relationship with God as a result of it. You know, we're moody people. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes it's a daily thing, a weekly thing, a monthly thing. Sometimes it's just a certain period in our life. They call it midlife crisis for some people. Depression, unhappiness. It hinders everybody's life. It impacts our relationship with people. Jesus is worried about that. He spoke a parable unto them. But then after the parable, he says this, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a haunting question, isn't it? What about in you? Will he find faith in you when he returns? When it comes to prayer? Are we interested? Focused? Drawing near to God requires, yeah, I read the Bible every day. I obey everything he says. I want to be his servant. I want to do his will. I want to be righteous. Yes, that's all a part of our mindset. But then we have to learn how to talk to him. And for many people, that's the hardest part. It's easy. It's easy to listen. It's hard to share. Hard to open up and let God in. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. What door? The door to our heart. And the song, This Is Our My Father's World, he makes some interesting points. I wanted to read it. This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. I don't know who wrote this song, but they got it. It's taken me years to be able to make melody with this, not simply while singing it, but in everyday life. To allow God to speak everywhere. In the rustling grass, in the beautiful rose, in the birth of a child, in a good meal, a wonderful meal that we enjoy, or a good dessert that we enjoy, in friendships, in watching God work, in reading the scriptures and just seeing some of the things God has done. He shines in all that's fair. We see him in the stars. We see him in the sun and the moon. We see him in the rainbow. He speaks to us everywhere. Are we listening? And are we responding with a thank you, God? Where are the nine, Jesus said, after he healed the 10? And sometimes I wonder how much God thinks that about you and I. Where are you? I've done all these things for you and you just ignore them. You take them all for granted. You never thank me. And again, God doesn't want us to thank him because he needs it. He wants us to thank him because we're thankful. And that's good for us, not just for God. He speaks to me everywhere. I like this song. There's four more verses or three more verses, and they all draw more and more out. And they will help us to improve the frequency and the depth. You know, depth sometimes is more important. Somebody says, I pray to God for a half an hour every day. Yeah, but what do you say? What are you saying for that half hour? You just rotely, I pray for this person, and I pray for this person, and I pray for the world, and I pray for this, and I pray for that. We're not opening up. We're not developing. Morning and evening prayers. You can read this, Psalm 55, Psalm 88, Mark 1. A long talk with God. Matthew 6:12 would be short prayers. I've always been impressed when Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king, and he's been depressed for a long time. He's quit eating, he's very unhappy because Jerusalem is lying open and waste and there's no one there and he even cares about him. Finally, the king notices, and he's afraid because he could lose his life. Because the cupbearer isn't supposed to be a sad person. He's supposed to be somebody that makes the king happy while he drinks to make sure there's no poison in his drinks. King says, what's the matter, Nehemiah? This is nothing but sadness of heart. And Nehemiah said, and I prayed to God, and then I answered him. How long do you think that prayer was? Hold on, King. I got to run over here for a half an hour and talk to God, and then I'll... No, I think it was a, Father, please help me right now. Quick prayer. Prayer for wisdom. Prayer for strength. Prayer for courage. Fervent prayer. For forgiveness. Praise him for the delightful things we experience. That's how we speak to him everywhere, and that's how he speaks to us. Pray before every meal. Pray for wisdom whenever in a tough situation. Here's another song where the songwriter got it. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Now, I think we can all say amen to that, but here's the next part. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Those are not words. Those are emotions. That's making melody. You see a beautiful rainbow, and you remember the covenant God made with Noah, and you remember that God has kept that covenant for millennia, thousands of years. God is a faithful God. It's a beautiful rainbow. It has so much depth and so much significance. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. Beautiful rose, beautiful sunset, beautiful sunrise, looking over the ocean. Lots of waves. That's how we improve the frequency and the depth. When we feel anxious, first thing we think about is God. We don't grovel in our anxieties. We don't worry all night. We cast our cares on him. We bring our anxieties and supplications, and he gives us comfort because we believe. When tempted, we pray for deliverance. God does speak to us everywhere. Great is thy faithfulness. summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Are we listening to that? You know, those of you who grew up on a farm, I didn't really notice this. I grew up in the city. I never really looked at the sun, the moon, and the stars. I never noticed the sun waxing and waning. But when I went to Malawi and I was there for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you get in tune to that. And you get back, how do they put it? You get back to nature? No, you don't. You just get back to the fundamentals. We have a buffer, all this technology. Now, you can use technology to draw near to God. You can thank God for your toaster. You can thank God for your oven and for your computer, because He's the one who made it all possible. He made the electricity. He made the elements. And He made us in His image and His likeness. And technology can draw us near to God and not away from God. But we have to focus a little harder on it, because in many people's mind, we made that. We made that. That's us. That's not God. Yeah, it is God. But this you can't. Sun, moon, stars, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You can't sing that song. You can't read those words if you put yourself into them without feeling a closeness to God. So it's our choice. You don't have because you don't ask. Or, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the one, you're becoming a stranger. You're leaving the presence of the Lord. With the other, you're drawing near to God. You're getting closer to Him. And so, all of these things were simply put forth today so that you and I could assess each other. No, all of these things were written so you could assess yourself. Because you know something, brethren? If there's one thing that's private, it's prayer. Nobody can invade the sanctity of the moments that you spend alone in your closet, in your car. You know, sometimes you can pray with your wife sitting next to you. She doesn't have to know because you're drawing near to God. Don't ignore those precious opportunities to praise Him, to glorify Him, to thank Him, to talk to Him about His faithfulness and His love and His power and His magnificence. Because when tough times come where God has a need for us to do something for Him, it's those moments that are going to get us through it. I think that's how Jesus got through His persecutions. I think that's how Paul was able. What sacrifice can't you make for someone who's already done so much for you? He's not asking something that's unreasonable. What could he ask that would be unreasonable? But you won't get there unless you think about these things. And so, brethren, as we pick up our songs this morning, a lot to think about. Maybe a few things to repent of, maybe a few things to change, maybe a few things to go home and write down and start being watchful so that we don't forget and we don't miss out on this wonderful opportunity. As we sing the song of encouragement, if there's anyone in the audience who needs to make their life right with God, haven't become a Christian yet, aren't living a faithful life, feel very uncomfortable with this lesson, because you know you don't have any right to talk to God because you're not listening to Him. We'd like to give you an opportunity to unburden that today and leave it behind. So if we can help you in any way, please come while we together stand and sing.